It's DJ Mr. X teaming up with MT and my E on this one. It's 7 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock right here on UJFM Brunch. And if you just tuned in, welcome to your Friday edition of The Brunch Show. My name is Life With Sins and I'm hanging out with you and with Nicole. Well, listen, we've got highly esteemed guests joining us today on the show. Without any further ado, good morning, Mr. Dr. Mpoti Ramaphatha and Dr. Joe Manyaka. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Cindy, and thanks for welcoming us.
Thank you for joining us. It's such an honor and a privilege to have doctors in the house.
Good morning also. Thanks for inviting us.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Listen, so it's a very, very important interview that we're having because it's the first of its kind, what UJ is planning to do. And when I came across this campaign, rather, when I was told that we'd be having this interview with you, I wondered, because the University of Johannesburg is a clean university. So what led to the launch of this campaign for residencies, water and power safety?
Thanks, Cindy. Indeed, the university it's a clean university. But what we have in mind with this campaign goes beyond mere cleanliness.
Okay.
This campaign is a sustainability initiative.
Yes.
You might know that the University of Johannesburg subscribes to the Sustainability Development Goal.
Oh yes.
So what we are about to do is part of a broader program.
Okay.
We will be launching on the 21st of July, which is next week, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we will focus on a number of areas.
Okay.
Of course, we will focus on the cleanups.
Yes.
But we will also focus on water use, power use, and recycling.
Yes.
And waste elimination.
So how does the University of Johannesburg Residencies Committee plan on including students and staff into this campaign?
Student Affairs is part of the campaign.
Okay.
So Student Affairs has engaged with the different house committees, with the Student Representative Council. Mm-hmm. They are fully aware of what is planned.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a one event campaign.
Okay.
The launch is one event, but subsequent to the launch, there will still be follow-up programs.
Yeah.
On different campuses, on different residences, where students will be engaged some more. In addition, we will be joined on the launch itself. We will be joined by representatives from the provincial government and the local government, because these are our partners in community engagement.
Okay.
So there is going to be a series of events that will form part of this campaign.
All right. With that being said, how will the University of Johannesburg benefit from collaborating with the state and provincial at a local level?
Yeah, I think, thanks a lot. The University of Johannesburg will gain broadly because as part of the program, we'll be enlarging the thinking of the Sustainable Development Goals to the outside. It also benefits the outside communities, but then our students will also benefit, including the institution, in the sense that we also want to ensure that students can be able or are able to save power in their residences.
Mm-hmm.
Because all our residences in UJ, more than 30 of them, they've got electricity meters.
Okay.
So we are able to tell how and how much a residence consumes.
When you talk about the residencies on campus, do you mean for, let's say, for example, Ndlovukazi, right? That's the campus, that's a residence here at the Bunting campus. Is there 1 meter for the entire Ndlovukazi student accommodation on campus, or is it per units per room?
We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Residents will have a meter
Okay.
that indicates what that residence consumes. So each res has its own electricity meter.
Okay.
Where we can gauge how much it consumes.
All right, I see. So with this installation of the energy meters in the residences, will it positively impact the energy consumption rates if you think about it?
Yeah, look, the idea is to end up creating competitions among residences.
Okay.
Where, for instance, we have got a sense of how much each residence has been consuming for the past 5 years. So if we subject that consumption to all residences and say your res has consumed so much over the 5 year period,
yes,
so the average will be this. But let's see how you can you are going to consume 2023 or 2024. So the more you save SRS as opposed to others, that's where now rewards will come for the rest that has consumed, has saved more. So I think that's the type of idea we want to sell to students. That I mean, saving will go beyond the borders or the boundaries of the UJ. As parents, as citizens, I think that's what we must do all the time.
And I like that you mentioned and you shared that it's part of the sustainable development goals. So it's not only about getting reward, it's actually doing something that is bigger than yourself, thinking about the next generation and also including society at large. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation. It's currently 13 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock on UJFM Brunch. We are in studio. We are talking to Dr. Mpoti and Dr. Joe Manyaka. We are talking about the campaign that is launching next week, Friday. We are raising awareness about residencies, water, power, and safety. Any questions, you know what to do on the socials. On our WhatsApp line, of course, it's 081-725-5228. And on the socials, it is at UJFM across all social media platforms. Into some music, here's a song called Pick Me Up, and then we continue with the interview.
This is UJFM. 95.5 UJFM, shaping the future.
And if you just tuned in, well, perfect timing, because we are talking to Dr. Mpoti and Dr. Joe, who are here to raise awareness about the campaign for residencies, water, power, and safety. So as a student, I mean, I just graduated in March, and every time I came to the Bunting campus and I passed the residencies just before the area where we wait for the inter-campus buses, there, I noticed that there was always a sewerage water coming out of there. And this wasn't once, not twice, but it was almost on every occasion I came to this campus. Can you tell us what is the problem when it comes to that? Because even students that live on that residence, one of my colleagues say that the water sometimes is cut off and they don't know what to do at this point in time. Is that part of your campaign to sort out the water coming out so publicly to everybody?
Yeah, no, thanks. That's a very good question, Cindy. Let's talk about the sewerage first. You asked what is happening. So let me explain to you what is happening.
Please.
Right. So our sewerage line comes into campus and runs through the campus and goes out. So what has been happening is that the line is blocked in a number of areas.
Oh.
So we are working with the city now during this recess.
Mm-hmm.
They have already sent a vehicle into the line. You know, it's a small robot that has gone in. At one part, they found where the line has collapsed. And this is because of age. This has very old infrastructure.
Okay.
Then there is also a part where there was root ingress into the line. So Dr. Joe and his team have identified the trees that have caused this root ingress.
Yeah.
We are going to make sure that we remove those trees, and then the city will come and cut through those pipes where there are root ingress.
Okay.
So we are hoping that when the students come back, the line will be restored. If it's not restored in the first week, maybe in the second week.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have this problem for some time now.
Okay. I really hope that will be sorted like as soon as possible, because it's kind of like a health hazard, you know. And on that note, while we're still speaking about the water, I noticed when I visited a friend, on this campus specifically that the water gets shut off and on. What is the reason for that? Because right now we are in the 58-hour. Actually, it ended at 5 a.m. this morning. So I can only imagine students are on recess. So that means most of them aren't on campus at the moment. But recess ends on Monday. Why is it that the residents on campus are dealing with such a battle of sometimes the water is cold, sometimes it's hot, or sometimes there's no water at all?
Okay, so you have asked two questions mm-hmm. in one.
Yes.
One is that why is the water supply not 100% available at all times? The second one is that why do we sometimes not get warm water in some of the residences? The first one is actually not an internal driven event.
Okay.
We get supplied by the Johannesburg Water.
Yeah.
From the Brixton Tower and the Hurst Hill Tower.
Okay.
For the past 6 months or so, the supply from the Hurst Hill has been very unreliable. So when that happens and there is an interruption, you might have seen we would cut water onto the campus using trucks. So that's when the water gets cut off.
Yeah.
But we try that we don't run through long periods where there is no water on campus mm-hmm. because the risk for us, believe it or not, is really the ablutions. We want the ablution facilities to be functional at all times because it's a hygiene issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue around hot water and cold water, most of the big races that we have here have gas heaters for their warm water.
Okay.
Those are fairly reliable. What happens is that if there is a water interruption, of course, it takes some time to heat water up. So a person, depending on the time when you open that water, you might not get water that is at an acceptable temperature. But there is nothing inherently wrong with our infrastructure that says our water should not be hot. It's only when the supply of water is not reliable.
So it's more of an external issue than a UJ-related problem.
It is an external issue, but our responsibility, of course, is to manage it. And the objective with both water and power is that we want to keep the students on campus. We, regardless of these external interruptions,
mm-hmm.
our objective is to keep the students on campus. And to keep them on campus, we must be able to ensure that we can maintain a reasonable standard of hygiene. And that is what we are planning for. It's progressively getting harder as we get more and more power interruptions.
Yeah.
But that is the objective.
Like I said at the beginning of the interview, that UJ is fairly a clean university. I mean, I'm speaking about all four campuses, Doornfontein, Soweto campus, Bunting campus, and the Auckland Park campus. How are you going to integrate students into this campaign where they're actually practically involved in making sure that this campaign of, the water and safety and energy consumption is of par?
Cindy, Dr. Joe will add to this, but I just want to say, you said something that really talked to me, that this campaign is actually bigger than ourselves. It is, if we can connect with this campaign at this level, that this is not just about UJ, it's not just about South Africa, it's about the world. You might have heard about the net zero campaign.
Yeah.
Many universities internationally are adopting the net zero campaign. And what the net zero campaign is that in our day-to-day activities, we generate waste that reduces the ozone layer in the atmosphere, therefore contribute to global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Net zero means that we have mitigation measures in place so that our net impact on the ozone layer and on global warming
mm-hmm.
becomes zero. Now, at an individual level, all these activities that we are undertaking contribute to that.
Okay.
As a university, our biggest contributor to global warming is carbon. and not the carbon we generate at UJ, the carbon that Eskom generates in the process of generating electricity. That is our biggest impact. So Dr. Joe and his team are thinking through mitigations that are possible. Planting trees, use of plastics, replacing plastics with recyclables, everything we can do to try and mitigate the impact of the carbon that we release into the atmosphere is welcome. So I hope that our students will get engaged at that level, and they will look at the day-to-day activities, the packaging for the food, the plastics that we use, the waste that we generate, and try to reduce in all fronts.
Now, with the, Dr. Joe, do you have anything you wanted to share?
Look, I'll give an example. From 21st July, next week, Friday, our intention is to plant 1,600 trees.
Wow.
We have purchased this so that it's a continuation of that, what Dr. Mpoti is talking about. Our food food gardens is something that we also have to talk about. Prof. Rulof is creating an awareness, creating food gardens around the camp, around UJ campuses.
Yeah.
So that he also helps to give students vegetables to cook, etc., etc. So these are some of the initiatives that we have in mind, so that we keep the world better. We also have to ensure that our students are well protected. I mean, the campuses are clean, but we want them much more cleaner. We don't want to them to be clean. We want to be top condition where students will be proud of the environment
definitely
that they live in. That is what we are striving to do to ensure that there is actually better life. But UJFM is also helping us promote this campaign.
I think
we have had a number of discussions with UJFM, community engagement, etc., so that by 21st we have a sizable huge crowd to ensure that they know what UJ is planning and doing.
All right, thanks for that, Dr. Joe. Listen, we are going to continue with this interview after the headlines. For now, here is...
This is UJFM, 95.5, UJFM, shaping the future.
36 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, if you just tuned in, this is the Friday edition of UJFM Brunch. My name is Life with Sins, and we are conducting an interview specially with Dr. Mpoti and Dr. Joe Manyaka. We're talking about the launch of a campaign that is happening next week, Friday. It is the launch of UJ residencies for power, water, and safety. Now, just before the headlines, we've been touching a lot on water and energy consumption. I think we should speak a little bit about the safety side of things. Now, the University of Johannesburg has a protection services on each and every campus. So when I was actually thinking about what I was going to ask you, what came across my mind is how, because we had a fire drill practice a couple of weeks ago where they were like, if it's an emergency, this is the procedures that we need to do. They even taught us on how we should use a fire extinguisher, etc., etc. So I was just speaking to my colleague and I asked her, have you ever done an fire evacuation process here at Bunting campus as a student? And she said to me, yes. So in my mind, I'm like, at the Kingsway campus, we have never done that. So if there was a fire that literally broke out, I think a lot of students would be in panic mode. So how are you going to include this kind of process into the campaign where students are made aware of safety procedures, for example, in the case of a fire?
Okay, thanks, Cindy, for that question. There isn't a policy that there are no fire drills at APK.
Okay,
Indeed, there are fire drills at APK. You might just not have been involved in one.
Yes.
But maybe let me talk a bit about students. So you will know that every year we have a new intake of students.
Mm-hmm.
So we try, the safety department tries to schedule as many of these fire drills for residences at mm-hmm. the beginning of the year, so that the new students become familiar with their environment.
Yes.
And what they need to do should an emergency occur.
Yeah.
Then, of course, throughout the year, they would schedule these drills
mm-hmm.
Through the offices and other work areas.
Yes.
But it's not the only thing that is happening, and I'm talking about fire safety. What we have been doing since the beginning of last year, we have been installing fire and smoke detectors in all the residences. Previously, we did not have fire and smoke detectors in all the residences.
Mm-hmm.
So we have equipped those now. We still have a challenge. The challenge is that this equipment get vandalized.
Mm.
There are those amongst ourselves who might not realize that it is actually a serious criminal offense.
Definitely.
To tamper or to break
yeah.
Firefighting equipment. So I want to appeal particularly to our residents in residences
mm-hmm.
that please do not vandalize this equipment, because the equipment is there for everybody's safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is on fire safety. On safety in general, our protection services, we are busy now with a program on enhanced safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
You might not see it, because the idea is not for you to see it.
Okay.
But the idea is to make sure that you are safe.
Yes. Right?
So we will not be marching up and down campuses with men with heavy guns
yeah.
and so on. No, but we are looking at all the risk points, and we are enhancing the measures. You might be aware that now we've reactivated the fingerprint scanners
yes.
at the entrances.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of making sure we have multi-factor authentication
yeah.
when people come onto campus. We are going through our cameras installation to make sure they all have got backup power, so that we know that should anything happen, and God forbid, we are able to get assistance from this infrastructure
mm-hmm.
To do that. But, you know, the biggest driver of our safety is our own awareness.
Mm.
It's when we are aware at all times that we are vulnerable, and we try to take defensive measures so that we don't become victims of this crime.
All right. Now, from a student's perspective, a student who lives on campus, I came across this question yesterday, of course, when I was finding out from students what they would like to hear from you. And a question that came up was, why are Uber drivers not allowed on campus, especially if you come from Campus Square and you've done your groceries like maybe for 2 months, and the Uber driver drops you off at the boom gate of the entrance of the university campus? I understand, yes, that some Uber drivers might not just drive straight out of the campus, etc., etc., but we'd like to understand the whole thought process of security reasons why a student is dropped off at the entrance. Let's say you dropped off at Gloria Sigwena and you need to walk all the way down here with all this luggage. Can you tell us why that is, that procedure is put in place for students?
Yeah, it might just be a consistent application of the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
The procedure as it stands is that Uber vehicles and other vehicles bringing passengers onto campus are not allowed access.
Okay.
However, there is a provision that if a student goes to buy things,
mm-hmm.
the student arrives at the gate.
Yes.
And the protection services can arrange transport, or alternatively can allow that vehicle to go and drop the student off.
Yes.
But the vehicle cannot do a pickup.
Oh,
it
yes.
It will just drop the student off. And it will leave the campus. So
okay.
it might just be maybe inconsistent application of the practice.
Definitely.
And students must talk with the officials that are at the gate. And if they really don't think that they are being helped, they must escalate to our head of protection service
yes.
so that they can get help.
I'm glad that you said that the protection services is there to actually assist the student, because it's this communication where we understand that, yes, our Uber drivers need to stop here for security purposes. And like you said, that they're not allowed to pick up another client when they're dropping off the students. But now that we know that protection services is there to help you, I think it closes off the miscommunication and the thoughts behind why this procedure has been put into place. Now let's touch more a little bit more about the launch of the campaign, which is happening next week, Friday, the 21st of July, and it will be from 12 to 4. Where exactly will the campaign be launched?
Yeah, the launch is at the APK.
Okay.
At the lawn next to the student center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a UJ area there. That will be prepared for this launch from 12 o'clock until we finish.
And how will the other campuses be intertwined with the launch? Because it will be happening at Kingsway campus.
Yeah, that is why we think the launch must happen at one setting.
Okay.
Those who are able to come, they've been informed by Student Affairs that they can use buses.
All right.
APK,
For
the launch and partake in the proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our workers will do the same. They will be here to ensure that they are part of the process.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what are the objectives for the campaign? And where can students share their feedback with the organizers and everybody involved?
Look, UJFM will be there.
Yes, of course.
there will be also some surveys to check whether everyone understood what the day was.
Mm-hmm.
There will be surveys that will ensure that people indicate their displeasure, their feelings about the event, so that when you do future events at other campuses, because when you start at APK, the next week we go into another one. So we also have to get feedback on how the past happened.
Yes, definitely.
So that we get an improvement of what went wrong. Et cetera.
Earlier on, you mentioned rewards, and I know a lot of students, we love rewards. What kind of rewards will be provided, or even incentives for those who participate in this campaign?
Look, in the past, there were competitions among residences.
Mm-hmm.
But what we used to do was that at the end of the year function for that residence.
Okay.
We will contribute something to ensure that the day is okay for students.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say something, I mean, it might be students will have money to buy bright things, etc.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that is how we used to atone and reward. But I think for now, there is still discussion with Student Affairs on what type of rewards will be given for the most saving residences in UJ.
Will this campaign be annual, or is it just the first of its kind?
The past 2-3 years, we had cleaning campaigns all over UJ campuses.
Yes.
So when we launched, at different campuses same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, APB will do its own campaign. Will request cleaning equipment, gloves from service providers, etc. Then APK will do the same, GFC and so on.
Yes.
But then every month will have a period or time assigned to cleaning campaigns so that everyone gets involved in the process. So this will be an ongoing process until the end of the year.
Mm.
The launch is happening 21st.
Yes.
But then each campus will have its own activity around what we've talked about. Power saving, water saving, food gardens, planting of trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't think we'll be able to plant those 1,600 trees on the 21st one time. So that will be an ongoing process until we finish them.
And those trees will be planted across all four campuses of the University of Johannesburg?
Yeah, equally distributed to all four campuses, yes.
And how can the listeners stay tuned to know what's happening with the campaign? Is there an Instagram page, or should we just follow the University of Johannesburg? Plus, I know we just got our blue tick, So we are official now.
One of the things that is great is that UJ launched the UJ TV 2-3 weeks back.
Yes.
That is another platform that has been used by this section to ensure that everyone gets to know what is happening. UJ FM is also on board.
Mm-hmm.
Community engagement. Have got different platforms they use to ensure that people know about what is happening.
Yes.
So those are the platforms that we'll use, Instagram, Twitter, etc., so that everyone is kept abreast of what is happening.
Any final words and thoughts to the listeners about the campaign that's launching next week, Friday, about energy, power, and safety consumption?
Look. My final thought is that I'm very excited about this thing happening.
Mm.
It will be a campaign that will run across everyone in UJ.
Yes, it will knit us together.
The MEC, senior management,
wow.
Students, lecturers, support staff. I think getting involved in this thing is bigger
than us.
It contributes quite a lot to the global world sustainability development goals. I think it's exciting.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, without any further ado, thank you so much, Dr. Joe and Dr. Mpoti. It's been a privilege and an honor. So you've heard it right here on UJFM Brunch next week, Friday, the 21st of July from 12 to 4:30. Make sure you are at the Kingsway campus right here at the University of Johannesburg for the official launch of the campaign to keep UJ residencies clean, water and power and energy consumption levels.
This is UJFM 95.5 UJFM, shaping the future.